Praise the Lord. That's good. All right, let's take just a minute here tonight. We'll cut the singing short just a little bit. Let's take just a minute here tonight. Somebody just pop off, brag on the Lord. And maybe you just want to say something for the Lord tonight. Now's your chance to do it. Right now, big and loud. And go ahead, sister. Amen.
I just want to tell everybody, I do appreciate all the prayers
this week
and the call. Everybody that went by to see
you. Yes.
Appreciate it.
Amen.
And thank the Lord he come home today.
Amen.
Well, I know that I had to be the head of household for a little bit. So I'm
going
out here because
Amen.
He's right there to help me.
Amen, sister.
And I prayed this morning to pull up to the house and he pulled up too. Well, guess what? He did.
Amen.
We pulled up in the bus and he pulled up right in front of us.
What about that? Amen.
I appreciate it, y'all.
Isn't that a blessing? Well, Jimmy's home. Anybody else? Right quick. Pop off for the Lord. Good time to do it right now. Good time to brag on Him while we're here this evening on this little March Sunday evening tonight. Be a good time to get a real blessing from the Lord. And the way you get is put something out, put something in. And you put something in, you get something out. Anybody else? Right quick before I read Scripture this evening. I've wrestled this thing all day, about changed my mind 3 or 4 times. But I'm going to go ahead and try to get this out of my heart, off of my heart tonight. It's been on there so heavy. Let's get our Bibles open this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this evening. I need you to listen to me carefully tonight. I need you to listen to every word as we try to bring you the message. I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. This is going to be different than what I usually do. But you'll learn something if you listen. Man can't preach as long as I have and not learn something. Surely. And education is not just coming out of a book. It comes from life and experiences. And my mom always said that. And she said traveling and going places and everyday life is the best education a person can get. And that's true. That's true. And so tonight, I'm going to give you condensed a bunch of years of experiences that I've had, and hopefully you might not make the same mistakes others may have made. It might help you make a mistake in your life. Now, all the stories that I'm going to tell you tonight are true. The names will not be revealed to protect the crazy people. But everything I'm going to tell you, I did not read nothing I'm going to say tonight. I read in a book. I either know it firsthand or preacher friends of mine have happened in their church. And I want to preach tonight on why people leave a church. Why people leave a church. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and look at verse number 10. There's a bunch of fellows here that Paul is going to name here. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Demas, he just got backslid and got out, like a lot of folks do. and is departed into Thessalonica. Now look at this fella. Christians to Galatia. Christians went to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. He said, this one went here. This one went over there. Now Luke, he's with me. And he said, take Mark and bring him with you. For he's profitable me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Paul said, now Christians is here. This fellow's gone over there. He said, now, O Tychicus, I've sent him out like a missionary or something like that. Like we sent him out to do a work or God called him to pastor church or something like that. So he's gone out yonder somewhere. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now look at this fella. He caused a lot of trouble in the church. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, that fella Alexander, he said, man, that guy's caused me more trouble than anybody said, God reward him. Give him what he's asking for. That's a strong statement. I don't think I've ever prayed that for none of y'all. I don't think I have. I don't want you to pray it for me. God don't reward you according to your works. But you know what? He was rough on old Alexander. He must have been a devil. All right, look at verse number 15. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He said, you watch out for that guy. He said, you watch out for that guy, Alexander the coppersmith. He said, he done our ministry a lot of damage, and he'll mess you up if you listen to him. Isn't that something? He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. That by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what Paul said? He said, no matter what they all do, the Lord stood with me. You know, the greatest Christian in the New Testament never had any buses, never had a Sunday school, never had an air condition, never had a mission program except his own preaching and the people that he helped send out. By our standards today, he wasn't much in the ministry. But he's one of the greatest preacher that's ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul preached that. And he said, this guy's gone over here and this guy's gone over yonder. And old Demas, he's got backslid and got out in the world. So I want to take that tonight and I want to use it as a thought. And I want to preach on the subject, why people leave a good church. Well, I've been preaching a long time. And I've been around here where so many churches around this part of the country that people, it ain't like it is out west and other places where they only got one Bible-believing church. You got them everywhere. And so instead of being fishers of men, we wind up being keepers of the aquarium and just swap fish from one end to the other, back and forth and back and forth and all the time. And I know this thing about why people leave a church. I want to talk to you right out of my heart tonight. And the first thing I want to say is there's a legitimate reason sometimes for leaving one church and going to another. There is a legitimate reason. Sometimes God really does tell people or lead people to go to another church. It's very rare, but it does happen. 9 times out of 10, when people say, the Lord's leading me, they're just lying and don't want to tell you the real reason. Right? 9 times out of 10, probably 9.5 out of 10. But it does happen. God does do that and can do that, especially when he's leading them to do something or go in the mission field or go start a church or go work in something else that God's given them to do. But that almost never happens. Almost never happens. There's another legitimate reason for leaving a church. And if it's a good church, and that is if the church is dead. If the church is dead, sometimes a good church that believes right goes into apostasy, so to speak, and just quits believing right. And if church quits believing right, and quits preaching the word, then of course it's a legitimate reason to go and find another church. Sometimes the pastor dies. Maybe a pastor pastored a church for a long, long time, and it believed a certain way and preached a certain way, and the services were conducted in a certain way. Then he dies. Or maybe the Lord calls him off somewhere else. Then the new guy comes in. And when the new guy comes in, things gradually begin to change. I mean, he changes this, little at a time. First thing you know, the Bibles. Next thing you know, the music. Usually that's the first thing to change. Gets a little on the contemporary side, flavor. And the next thing you know, I'm saying that we're not even going to do this, but we're going to do this. And we're not going to do that anymore, we're going to do this. We're not changing, but we're changing. We're not going to change, but we change. We're not changing nothing, but we change everything. You know, that type of thing. And sometimes, when it gets like that, you just think, good night, I've had all this, I can stand. And sometimes, it is legitimate in a case. Or when a person's preaching false doctrine. If there's tolerated immorality or false doctrine being taught, then those are all legitimate reasons to leave a church. Are you listening? I said, if there's immorality tolerated, just say, oh, it ain't a sin, just live like you want, or false doctrine preached, then those are legitimate reasons to find another church. However, that almost never happens in a Bible-believing church. I'm going to tell you tonight why people do that. Why people. Now, and before I do, I've learned this. People never leave a church over one thing. I've had hundreds leave them over the years. Hundreds, literally probably thousands. I mean, if we kept everybody been in here, we'd have 3,000. And you have people come for a while, then quit. Come for a long while, then quit. Come for a year, then quit. Come for 2 years, then quit. Come there, and you go and talk to them, and they'll say, "Well, preacher, this," and it's almost never. They almost never tell the truth. Once in a blue moon, one will tell you the truth. Other times, it's if. But they never leave over one thing. It's always a combination of things, and then one more thing tips them over the edge. It never fails. They're already upset about something, and they're mad about something else, or this, or that, and then another thing happens, and then bam, that does it. So, with that in mind tonight, let me give you about 3 or 4 reasons why. The stories I'm going to tell you are all true. Number one, most people leave a church, the big reason is they get backslid. They just get full of the devil. There's no two ways about it. They want to go somewhere where there's a liberal church, a liberal preacher, no standards, no conviction of sin, no Sunday night, no Wednesday night. Just take it easy. Tell me I'm all right. Don't get down on me and tell me I'm doing wrong. Don't point out my sin. Just tell me I'm all right, preacher. I don't know this little church over here, and that's where Mama went and Papa went and Papa's Papa went, and it's all dead, and ain't never nobody get saved. But in other words, I just want to get backslid and don't even want to go to church half the time. Amen? Those people never show enough respect to the preacher or anybody else in the church to even call. Now, I don't know about you, but I've only left one church in my life. That was one I got saved in. My pastor resigned a year after I got saved. And they had two or three, it went for a long time without a pastor, and it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And me and these boys, they were starving to death. And so we went over to this other church where we felt like we could get something from the Lord. Was I right? I don't even know. Was I in the will of God? I couldn't tell you if I was or not. I thought I was. I believed I was. But I know that's the only time I've ever done it. But I tell you what, I got enough guts to do. And you would think people that go to a church for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years would at least have enough respect to go and sit down and say, "Look, I appreciate everything you've done for me. I appreciate our church. But God has..." No, it never works like that. They just vanish, just disappear. Not a word. Not like Mom said, "Don't say dog, brother." And that ain't right. And you know, somebody got a guilty conscience somewhere that can't sit down and talk to you. That's backslid. That's just somebody just don't want to live right. Be careful about that. And I want to say also, number 4, the second reason why people leave a church is they get their feelings hurt. Major reason. They get their feelings hurt. One person got mad and quit church Because another person got up and sang the song that he had been practicing. I'm not making this up now. He had been practicing that song, and he had his heart on singing it, and another person got up and sang it, and he got mad and quit and went to another church. You believe the Lord was leading, was the Lord in that? No, no. He just got his feelings hurt. We've had that happen. I don't know if we ever had anybody quit over it, but we have had that happen right over yonder in our old church. I remember it happening one night. And it was like, well, if I don't get to sing the song that I want to sing, I want to. And now that lets you know how immature people are that people like me have to deal with all the time. And I ain't spiritual giant, brother, but Lord have mercy. I hope I got enough grace to say, if they sing that song, God bless, it ain't going to hurt us for two people to sing the same song. Get up and sing it right beside them if you want to. Like that guy did Jason that night. Remember, what's his name? He got up and helped, just grabbed him by the neck and helped him lead the choir, and he had no idea who he was. Thought he was a drunk off the street. But listen, that ain't gonna, listen, don't get all bent out of shape if somebody does something you want to do. There's plenty enough work of God for all of us to do. Write you another song. Amen. One man who was a deacon in a Baptist church got mad and quit because somebody sat in the normal seat that he always sat in. It's true. True. Somebody started sitting in his seat. You ever been to these churches where they got people's names on them? Like right here, this is like Blankenship. This is Rumfelt. Amen. Hussein. All these seats down over here. Somebody said, Brother Danny, we can give a lot of money if we put our names. I ain't putting nobody's name on none of these seats. You don't own them? Yeah, it's first come. We used to have people up there, remember in a youth rally, and they'd try to crowd in and they'd lay their Bible down. And they'd say, that's my seat right there. And somebody come up and said, Brother Danny, they said that was their seat. I said, listen, ain't no names on these seats. First person sits down there, that's their seat. And tell somebody to grow up if they don't like it. Then somebody come in one night and the church crowd was full and their Bible was laying in the floor. some good godly spirit filled got it and threw it in the floor. They got up and grabbed my Bible and said, I never in my life. We had a preacher one time, he drove down for a youth rally, and there's so many people you couldn't get in the building. That's why we have ours as a fairground. We couldn't get all them people in here. And we said, you're going to have to watch it on the monitor. And he said, I drove all the way here from Kentucky. I ain't watching on no monitor. He was the pastor of the church. Big old red-headed fella. Had one of them Irish tempers. Amen. I tell you, listen, people get mad because they get to feel hurt. Honest truth. Not here. Another church. This is true. A lady quit coming to church because the pastor's wife wore the same dress on Easter Sunday as his wife wore. And she knew. Oh, she couldn't wait to walk in there and show everybody that dress. Boy, she was going to walk in. Here I am. And the pastor's wife done come in with the same dress on and stole the glory. Lord have mercy. And we wonder why God can't bless our churches. Not in the morning, brother. Listen, I don't care if everybody in here wears, I don't care if every one of you guys wear a tie like that. I tell you what, I wouldn't even wear them stupid things if I didn't think it was respecting my office. I'd jerk it off. So I heard homosexuals invented them. And if I could ever prove that, I'd never wear another. Amen. But I can't prove it. But out of respect to my office, I'll wear one. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm telling you, it don't matter if every one of y'all wear a tie just like that. Who cares, brother? Amen. Me and Brother Derek wear the same jacket every year. Only way you can tell the difference who's up here is he's mean or not. Right. They get your feelings hurt. Now you know you ain't going to go to church. You ain't going to go to church a year without getting your feelings hurt about something. You're going to get overlooked, or somebody, there's a woman right there, on the second row right there, she quit coming to church, and somebody said, why'd you quit coming? She said, I tried to shake Danny Castle's hand, and he walked right by me and wouldn't shake it. And she wouldn't come back. And I do not remember that. I might have had five people over here hollering at me. She was sitting right in here somewhere. She got mad because I wouldn't shake her hand. Lord, what are you going to do when it really gets bad? What are you going to do when the devil really does hit? People get their feelings hurt. Well, let me say another reason. I'll come back to that in a minute. A lot of people quit church and go to another church because they want to be the boss. And they won't go to a church where they can't be the boss. This is notorious in these little Baptist churches scattered all around our part of the country. You got one old guy in there, him and his family run it for 50 years, and they ain't going to let nobody else make no kind of decisions unless him and his family makes that decision. All them little churches got what we call a head daddy rabbit. He'd been a deacon 700 years. I mean, they gave the land the church was built on. Mama was buried out there. Papa spit tobacco juice out that window right there. But I feel the Lord here. All them old churches had somebody like it. And old Daddy Rabbit runs it, buddy. He runs it. And they ain't going to stay around long where they can't call the shots. Then this one old fella, he used to sleep through every service. He'd sleep every service, and they wasn't but two words that wake him up. One of them was, "You're dismissed," and the other one was, "We're going to vote." That's the only two things he heard. He slept through the whole service. Preacher said, "Dismissed." He'd wake up and go out. Preacher said, "We're going to vote." His eyes would pop open just like that because he wanted to run everything. And one night in a little old country church, they come in there and they'd been talking, some of the men had been talking. He said, "Now, preacher," he said, we really need some chandeliers in this place here. And this, these old lights are dull and dim and everything. And the preacher said, "All right, we're going to bring it for the church. We're going to vote tonight on getting some new chandeliers. All in favor? Anybody opposed?" He said, that old man, when he heard vote, jumped up back there. He come running down through here. He jumped in. I'm against it. He said, "Okay, brother. Okay. We'll let you tell the church why you're against it." He said, "I'm against it for three reasons. Number one, we can't afford it. Number two, ain't nobody here can play it." He said, "Number three, what we really need in this church is some new lights. These old ones about it." I'll tell you, that's where a lot of people are. If it ain't their idea, it ain't right. Now, if they think of it, God is leading. They want to be the boss. The Bible said there's a man like that in the Bible. His name was Diotrephes. And Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. Let me tell all you men something, and ladies something here tonight. Be careful when you feel that bossy spirit coming up in you. You want to tell everybody this and tell everybody that and straighten everybody. I'm like Debbie Dog, brother. I'll do the preaching around here. And don't you forget it. That's what he's saying. I mean, I ain't trying to be a big shot. I'm just doing my job. I ain't nothing. I ain't no better than nobody else in here. But you can't have a bunch of Indians and no chief, or a bunch of chiefs and no Indians. Amen. Amen. They want to be the boss. One big shot tither left his church because the preacher wouldn't fuss at the kids for misbehaving. They had some bus kids. And the bus kids don't always behave. But you ask any of our Sunday school teachers, I dare you, ask any one of them. Our church kids can be usually just as bad or sometimes worse than some of our bus kids. Don't you get the devil in you and think, "Oh, these bus kids are full of the devil." Well, yours might be full of the devil too. Yeah. Amen? We all have that potential. All right. I said this, and I will say another reason. They disagree with church's decision. One man left the church because the church wouldn't make him a deacon. Now, if a man gets mad and leaves the church because the church won't make him a deacon, he just proved that they done the right thing by not making him a deacon. He should be in the nursery with a big bottle, with a big pacifier on it, about that big. That man, I was preaching somewhere, I believe it was in Alabama. Preacher had a big old bottle, looked like a baby bottle about that big, and a big old thing. I said, "Man, I need to borrow that. I can take that everywhere I go, because that's what that fella needed." Another church man left church because he wanted somebody else to be the pastor, probably himself. Another one left the church because they didn't like shouting.
Somebody jumped up. Isn't it funny? Somebody said, I like all that shouting, screaming, and hollering. And then somebody else says, too quiet in here. One preacher, you know him, he comes here every year. He said, Brandon Bruce, he told me, he said, Brother Danny, we had a lady get mad and leave the church because I move around too much. Like me walking around up here. They want him to stand right there and not move and never raise his hand, never raise his voice, left the church because of it. One man, we had some converts one time, years ago, and these converts had a problem. And the problem is my next point. And my next point is, another reason people leave the church is they get talked into it by friends, people at work, or family. Very dangerous. What I'm getting ready to say to you is a very dangerous situation. People get talked into leaving a church, going to another church. Are they in God's will? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying who's in God's will, who ain't. I don't know. But I know this. It's very doubtful that God leads somebody to leave a Bible preaching church when all it is a family and friend trying to pull them over here. Very doubtful. Now, a lot of times they won't have nothing to do with you when you're living like a devil. And as soon as you get saved, all your cousins and brothers come in and say, oh, you're in the wrong kind of church. You need to come over here to our church. Where we're not. You want to say, well, where was you all them years when I was out drunk and living like the devil? Why didn't you come and, where was you? Why didn't you come visit me? Why didn't you try? Suddenly, when you get right with God, they come out of the woodwork, these Bible geniuses, straightening you out. They'll try to get you to become a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon, a Seventh-day Adventist, and Church of Christ and Christian Scientists and everything else in God's earth, and because they suddenly find out, listen, it's wrong to leave a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church just because you talked into it by your family and friend. When you get a boyfriend, I've seen it so many times, a girl will get a boyfriend. A boyfriend will come a time or two. Well, how do you like our church? Well, I like my church better. Well, and then he says, we'll go to your church one Sunday and my church the next. I could write you a list of them, like that right there. You believe the Lord's in that? Where should it be? I don't know. God might tell them to marry him, go to another. I'm not saying he won't. I'm just saying, I don't trust that kind of reason. That don't sound like something the Lord would do. Man's got a ministry. Man's got a work. Man's doing a good job. I do believe the lady ought to follow the man. I believe a man's leadership, all that kind of stuff. But I don't think a man ought to come to church and get under conviction because he got his bell rung and then go and get a girl and pull her out and take her to an old dead, dried up church. Lord, ain't in that kind of mess. Lose a lot of good girls like that. Or boys. Now it's going to get a little bit touchier. You have somebody have marriage trouble. We've had this here in our church. All right, they separate. The devil gets in there and busts them up. Here's one over here, and there's another over there. She's got all her friends sitting over there. He's got all his friends. They're all mad at them. They're all mad at them. She's got all her friends feeling sorry for her. Poor little old me. He's a terrible husband. He's got all his buddies over here. I've been through this many times. I'm telling you, it's the same thing every time. He's all his buddies saying, man, I can't believe that wicked old, sorry old, good-for-nothing wife here. And the women are over here saying, he was mean to you. Bless your heart, honey. How could he claim to be a Christian? And there goes. The devil just drives a wedge in there. Next thing you know, you got one bunch over here that won't talk, another bunch, and then she comes to me and she says, Brother Danny, I'm finding me another church. And I said, why? She said, I can't stand to be in the same. I said, now look, this is your church. This is his church. I ain't running nobody off. You're welcome here. This is your church where God put you. And sure enough, you know what happens? You lose both of them. And God wasn't within 1,000 miles of that. I don't know about you, but ain't nobody cheating me out of my church. They won't be around me. They can go somewhere else. Amen. One man had a man who was his brother-in-law. Pastor's brother-in-law got mad and left the church because he preached on going out of town for the weekend. He preached about just laying out of church and going off for the weekend. And his wife had done that weekend. And he said, I know you're just talking about her. And they got mad and quit church. And he said, Brother Danny, I know that man wanted to quit anyway. He was just looking for a reason. And that's what he picked out to use. No, that's the way it usually goes. The way it usually goes. Never tell you the real truth. One man left the church because there wasn't no a lady, because there wasn't no older people her age to fellowship with. Another older man left the church because there wasn't no old women he could date. Truth. Was looking for old widows and he couldn't find one. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Be careful. I had a couple one time come to church, and they was in a good church. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's a Bible preaching church. And their teenage daughter liked some of the teenagers in our church and wanted to hang around them. And she kept saying, Mom, I want to go to that church. Mom, I want to go to that church. And Mom said, Honey, we got our church. We got a good church. She kept saying, Mama, I want to go there. And she kept on and on and on. And they petted that little brat and come to our church. Now, personally, I was glad to have them. And God blessed us with it. But I never did feel like that was right. Deep down in my heart, I thought, that ain't right. Every kid ain't supposed to be leading their parents around like that. Just because they got a girlfriend somewhere else, or pretty girls, or pretty boys, or a big guy, or something that they want. It's not the kid's decision to make stuff like that happen. They're talked into it by family and friends. I know another lady, and I'm going to say a few things personal, but I can't talk too personal. Y'all figure it out. So I got to be careful now. I know it's on the internet. Another lady, good, strong, Bible-believing church, and her family wouldn't let the kids come with her to that church, so they said, they can't go with you, but they can go over here. So she says, I got a choice. See what them kids will do? They'll make you think, now, Mommy, you want me to be right with God, don't you? I'm not going to get backslidden. It'll be your fault for not doing what I want you to do. Boy, ain't that mean little suckers. Have you ever had your kids try to pull something out? My kids, see, they know we're spiritual. They know we're spiritual minded. So they know how to play on that. Oh, they can get real spiritual when it comes to something they want to do. If they're that spiritual, they'll be reading their Bible every night and praying and on their own. Be a soul winner on their own. Then maybe we'll listen. And sometimes people ought to listen to their kids. I know some people right now out of church because they didn't listen to their kids, and the kids smarter than they was. So I ain't saying who God will and who ain't. I don't know. But I know one thing. It's a dangerous thing to let family and friends talk you out of your church. Well, last thing I'm going to say tonight, you know what it is. People leave church because they're mad at the preacher. That's just all there is to it. And the reason you know that is because they never... You know, if somebody had married my kids in their wedding and buried my loved ones and sat in the funeral home with me and wept when my daddy died and went out there and buried my... And studied and prayed and preached for 25 years... Wouldn't it be an honest, ethical, Christian thing to do for me to sit down and talk and say, look, preacher, I love you, but God has told me. But it never happens. It never happens. Just disappear. Don't say thank you. Don't say I appreciate it. Don't say I thank you for the sweat. Thank you for the work. Thank you for letting my kids get saved. Nothing. Just disappear. You can say what you want to. The Lord ain't in 5 million miles of people acting like that. The truth is, they're mad because something didn't go like they wanted or thought it should. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, unless you've got immorality tolerated or false doctrine preached, you don't have a scriptural reason for leaving a church. Now I'm not saying God don't tell you. If God tells you to, do it. But you don't have a scriptural reason. And you better be careful about
Well, I knew it because almost every time somebody makes a decision like that, they're mad, hurt, backslid, discouraged. It's all, and I've told people a thousand times, don't make a decision when you're upset. Don't make a decision when you're backslid. Don't make a decision when you're... And you know what people tell me? Oh, I'm not mad. That's a lie. That is a lie. It's evident they're mad. But a man, every year at the youth rally, we have somebody quit church. Good people. Some of that youth rally will knock you out unless you get your feet on the ground good. Don't volunteer at youth rally if you're weak at all. We have people every year don't come back. We had two couples never came back last year after youth rally. And one of them, because something happened at the fairground. Another one, because he's mad about something else. And when I talked to one, I said, we love you. We're not mad. And that ain't true. They love me, but they mad. They mad. Amen. No one is hardly ever honest about why they leave church. We had an argument over food. The guy never come back. And he said, Brother Danny, we love you. I said, man, you're just upset about... No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You know good and well that's why... No, that's not... People are too proud to admit that they're that carnal and too proud to admit that they're that immature, so they lie and say, I'm not mad about nothing. I just feel the Lord. And blame it on the Lord! That's awful. That's awful. You say, I ain't never heard a sermon on this. I ain't neither. Your first time for everything. You're hearing it now. I'm about done. In closing, I want to say this evening, sort of semi-closing. I had a couple get saved one time years ago. They done real good for a while. Next thing I know, they wasn't there one Sunday. I said, where's the Sunday? They said, well, Brother Danny, they're somewhere else. What do you mean somewhere else? I said, well, their family goes to this church over there and they believe in this and they believe in, it was a holiness church and they believed different. They said, Baptists don't believe in healing. I said, that ain't true. We believe in healing. They said, Baptists don't believe all the Bible. I said, yeah, they do. Well, anyway, they went to this church that believed different than Baptist doctrine. And they got it in their head that we didn't believe all the Bible from my talking to them. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. If there is somebody in your life, your friends, your family, people you work with, if there is somebody, look, I'm not one of these crazy preachers. I know preachers that won't even let people in the church be friends with. That's stupid. You can be friends with whoever you want to, go wherever you want to with whoever you want to, go to all revivals you can get in, go to all camp meetings, get all you can get. That's what I believe. Just be here when you're supposed to be. And you know what? If there's somebody talking to you, and they're constantly talking negative about your church, you better leave that person alone, friend. They ain't your friend. They ain't your friend. You say, well, we talk every day and I love her and I love him and he's constantly blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to sit around and listen to somebody. I'll tell you something happened. Something happened to me the other night. I ain't no telling who will hear this, but if they do, it's the truth. The other night, Mike knows, Bailey knows, I guess Corey knows. We have a ball game over there. And man, I'd like to tell you about that, but I don't like to mix games in this church. But we did good, y'all. And my man over there, he come to play. Raise your hand over there, babe. We did really bad the game before. Really bad. And so I went early the other night because our sorry coach is off loafing off in Florida somewhere. He's on his way home right now. I just talked to him a while ago. But anyway, I went in there and old Bailey, who's in there shooting, I said, man, mean business tonight. Come a half hour early. And we did good. We did real good. And I'll tell you more about that later. But boy, when it was over, there's a woman hollering at me during the game. The guy pushed me and I pushed him back. And I said, easy, easy. And this woman hollered out of the crowd. She said, yeah, easy, easy. You're supposed to be a Christian. Supposed to be a preacher. I went over and went, slapped her right in the face. I did not. I did not do that. I didn't, did I? I just backhanded. No, I did not. I as the man of God stayed focused. I did, really. I've been called worse than that before. And when it was over, I thought, well, I'm going to be nice. Don't y'all tell nobody none of this, okay? And I thought I'd be nice and go over there and do the Christian thing. And I went over and said, God bless you, ma'am. And I thought she'd say, I know, it was just a ball game. And she looked at me. And I'm going to tell you exactly what part of what she said. She said, you're a hypocrite. You're going straight to hell and you're taking your whole congregation with you. She said, every one of y'all is going to hell. I said, I am not. I said, I ain't no hypocrite and I ain't going to hell. Couldn't go to hell if I wanted to, amen. I'm hell proof. The blood of Jesus on my soul. I ain't going to hell. I deserve to, but thank God I ain't going. And I'm glad. And you ain't either. I hope y'all ain't. Amen. Y'all with me, ain't you? She said, you're going to hell and all that whole church with you. I said, ma'am, I mean, Lord have mercy. And I tried to be nice. I said, well, sister, I said, I'm not perfect, but good night. I ain't no hypocrite. Oh, yes, you are. Oh. And boy, she led into me and said some other things that I won't repeat. And I'm telling you what, my daughter was my other two. They're all backslid in Florida, too. Only one that stayed right. She took off over there to smack her. I said, Corey! And she just kept going. You ever seen a dog going to get in a fight with another dog? He says, stop, stop! And it just keeps going. That's the way she did. And I wouldn't tell her who it was, so she couldn't figure it out. She couldn't figure out who it was. And I'm glad she didn't. I didn't want to make no scene. Be nice to people. Be nice to people. I've been called a lot worse than that before, to my face. You know what? How did I get off on all that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to take a lot more than that to get me to think bad. She said, oh, y'all going to hell. I don't believe that. If I worked with somebody, or I was friends with somebody, and there's always saying, well, you people, it's your church, you people. I don't let people talk about y'all. I don't. I mean, I'll be nice and shake my head and go over there. I'm not going to stand there day in, day out, and allow somebody to talk about Shining Light Baptist Church. I've had people get up and walk out. Just walk out. I had a family. I've been their pastor, two families. I've been their pastor nearly 20 years. Labored and sweated and begged God and witnessed their kids and helped their kids going through divorce and everything else. And I made a decision they didn't like, and they got up and walked out one Sunday morning and never said nothing. I don't believe God was in 10 million miles of people acting like that. You believe God led them to do that? I don't. I don't. I bet a man who wanted a position, and he really wanted his position, and so finally I reluctantly let him have it. Usually it's wrong. It's a mistake to let somebody have a position just to make them happy. Because God ain't usually in stuff like that. And I did it. And I thought, well, maybe you can do this or that, brother. And he started doing it. And he was miserable. And said, people ain't listening to me. People won't follow me. And he quit the church. And said the Lord led him to. I had a lady one time. Took her family. Made the decision for the whole family. Got to be careful about families where the woman makes the decision for everybody's spiritual well-being. Something wrong with the man or her one. And she said, well, Brother Danny, I just don't agree with some things that you said. And you made a joke about, I don't even know what I made a joke about. Something, and didn't mean nothing by it. And she said, I don't appreciate that. And then she blamed it on her husband and said, he feels led that we should go somewhere else. And what happened was she went home, fussed at him, and put the pressure on him, and God wasn't in a million miles of it. All right, I'm through tonight, and I want to say this. You be careful. You be careful. Be careful about living Bible believing, Bible preaching, soul winning, Bible believing church. Be careful. I'm not saying God might not tell you, He might. It's about 1 out of 500. And the rest of the time, somebody's mad about something that they didn't like. And God didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm telling you. I've seen them. You check back with them about 20 years and you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, I'm through. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.